At the heart of the Christian faith is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without his resurrection, we have nothing to believe. Without the resurrection, we should simply close our Bibles and close our church and go home. And 1 Corinthians 15 is the most comprehensive chapter about the resurrection. We've been looking at it over the last few weeks. And so far we've seen how the resurrection is at the centre of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. But how do we know he was successful? Because he rose again from the dead. And this is why the resurrection is so important. Without it, we're still in our sins. And what is the evidence for the resurrection? We've seen that the fact that Jesus rose from the dead means that we will rise from the dead. And just as we all die because of Adam's sin, so if we're Christians, we shall all rise because of Christ's perfect life. And then last week we looked at when the resurrection would take place. And it would take place at the end of the world, when Christ comes back. And then we will be in the new heavens and new earth. Now Paul, beginning in verse 34, begins to discuss the nature of the body we will have, the resurrection body. What will our new body be like? The Corinthian Christians were puzzled, and so maybe are you. What would the new heavens and earth be like? My daughter, when she was just over 2 years old, in the car asked my wife, "Will there be toys in heaven?" How would you answer that one? And we may have many questions. When a person dies as a child, do they look like a child in heaven? When a person dies old, will they be their resurrection body be old? Will I have grey hair in my resurrection body? And if you've got lovely blonde hair, will you have blonde hair? Will we age? Will we eat? Will we recognise each other? We have many questions, and the Bible doesn't answer them all. It doesn't tell us whether there'll be toys in heaven. But it does tell us what we need to know. And this passage tells us not so much what we want to know, but what we need to know. And what do we need to know? The answer to the two questions we have in verse 35. How are the dead raised up? And secondly, and with what body do they come? Now the first question is a question that maybe non-Christians ask. How are the dead raised up? This is impossible. We see a person die, their body goes into the ground, it rots. How can it be raised up? The unsaved say that the resurrection from the dead is impossible. Once a living creature dies, it's dead. And the second question is maybe one a Christian is likely to ask. Well, I believe in the resurrection, but what kind of body will I have? What will it look like? Because Christians believe in the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul begins to answer these two questions in quite a surprising way. Do you see what he says in verse 36? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Paul doesn't condemn the skeptics for their skepticism, he doesn't commend believers for their questioning. But he does say that if you ask such questions, you're foolish. Now, is Paul being unkind? No. Is he being rude? No. The word fool in the Bible means ignorant. It means ignorant. It means unthinking. It means to be unthinking, especially about spiritual matters. And it means in this case to be unthinking about what kind of body we will have. Because Paul is going to say that actually for a believing Christian, The answer to these questions should be obvious. How should it be obvious? By simply opening our eyes. Paul is going to show us that if we open our eyes and look at creation, and if we open our eyes and look at God's revelation, the Bible, we'll find the answers to these questions. We'll find the answers to these two questions. How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, maybe you have questions like this. Well, we're going to look at the answers, because here God gives us the answers. And Paul is inspired by God to answer in two parts. He's going to give three answers from creation and three answers from Revelation. So, my friends, do you want to know what it will be like? Then let's read on. First of all, we have three answers from creation. Now, Paul reminds us that we can learn a great deal from creation. You know what Psalm 19 says? It says this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. The world around us tells us a great deal. And that's what Paul's now going to show us. You want to understand about the resurrection? Well, just go for a walk in the countryside. Just go and have a look in your garden, he's in effect saying. Go for a little walk along by a stream, and you'll find some answers, especially, by the way, at springtime, as we shall see. So there are three answers from creation. The first is this: resurrection life comes after bodily death. That's what he says in verse 36. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. We only have to look out of the window to receive an answer to this question. Each plant, each tree, each animal, in some ways, but particularly plants and trees, actually give us the answers. All around us, we see life coming from death. What happens when you plant a seed? Some of you might have gardens or a little window box. And you take a little tomato seed and you plant the tomato seed in soil. What happens? The seed germinates, the seed dies, then disappears, but it produces a new plant, and the seed is gone. If you dig up your tomato plant, which I don't recommend, but if you do, and you look for the seed, you'll see, where's it gone? It's gone. So the seed died, and instead you have a tomato plant. Now this is what Jesus is teaching us. New life comes from the seed's death. And this is a teaching that Jesus teaches us as well. Turn to John chapter 12, verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 24. It's on page 953. This is what we read. Jesus says this. John 12, 24. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So here is the first answer. We actually need to first to die. We need our old body to decay before we can have our resurrection body. Death comes before life. Now, because of this, my friends, I need to say something important about death. We actually, let's be truthful, don't look forward to death, because death feels unnatural. But actually, as Christians, we should not fear death. You know how the Bible describes dying for Christians? Just falling asleep. It's falling asleep. Or leaving the body and being present with the Lord. Now, death is horrible, but death for the Christian is not final, because death is the gateway to eternal life. Death is the way that we then eventually will receive our new bodies. In other words, you can't have your old body and you can't have your new body. You want a new car. You have an old car. What do you do? Well, you get rid of the old car and you have a new car. Unless you're wealthy, you don't keep two cars. You can't have both. But actually, it's good to get rid of the old car to have a nice new car, isn't it? And how much more to get rid of our old body to receive our resurrection body. So this is what we learn from creation. And the second answer from creation builds on this. Our resurrection body will come from our current body, but it will be different. Look at verses 37 and 38. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that it shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives each a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Now, when you plant your tomato seed, you know that the seed disintegrates and it turns into something else. But what does it turn into? What does a tomato plant seed turn into? Does it turn into an apple tree? No. Does it turn into a sheep? No. It turns into a tomato plant. And the tomato plant with leaves and flowers and fruit. The tomato plant comes directly from the tomato seed. Now, the old tomato seed is very different from the tomato plant, but they're connected, aren't they? In fact, with some seeds, if you smell the seed, you can tell what kind of plant it is. That's true with herbs, isn't it? You get some cumin seed, you smell the seed, it smells of cumin, then you plant it and it grows a plant that smells of cumin. I hope our brother knows how to translate cumin. I'm sorry. But it's true, isn't it? And I think sometimes a tomato seed smells a bit like a tomato. And this is what God is teaching us. The old body that dies and the new body are different, but they are connected. They are connected. And it's God who decides what new life comes from the old life. It's God chooses what plant will look like after it grows into a seed. And so it is God who is going to choose what our resurrection body will look like. But that's true of your own body. You actually didn't choose what your body looked like, did you? How tall you'd be, or how short you'd be, or the colour of your eyes, the colour of your hair. God chose that. And so it will be with the new body. But it's always a pattern, always a pattern. A tomato seed produces a tomato plant. And so a human body will produce a human resurrection body. And Paul is thinking about in Genesis. In Genesis, we're reminded that when God made the world, God created plants and animals and humans separately, and they remain separate and they're different. A tomato seed will always only produce a tomato plant. This, by the way, is a great blow to the theory of evolution that says over time, a fish can produce a cow. That's in effect what it says. A fish can produce a cow. But this isn't true. There's an insect called the fruit fly. And you may sometimes see these in your home. They fly around, these little flies. And the fruit fly, it has a very short life. From its birth to death is 10 days. And in those 10 days, it's born, and it grows up, it reproduces, and then dies. 10 days, very quick. And so evolutionary scientists thought, if we breed these very quickly, we'll see evolution. So they use fruit flies and breed them again and again and again. They've been doing this for dozens of years. And then they try to change them in some way by putting them in different circumstances. But guess what's happened after years and years? Fruit flies just produce fruit flies. They don't produce a bee or a wasp. They just produce fruit flies. So here is the second point we learned from creation. There is a connection between your current body and the body you will have in the new heavens and new earth, but it will be different. And Paul is saying here is different in one sense as a seed is from a plant. Now, what does this mean? Well, I believe that it means that we will recognize each other in heaven. When A tomato seed produces a tomato plant. We recognize it as a tomato plant. So we will recognize each other in heaven. And we have evidence of this at the transfiguration of Jesus. Do you remember what happened then? Jesus appeared. There were two people with him, Moses and Elijah. And they actually had a body, their resurrection body. And it's interesting, if you read it, that Peter knew who they were. How did he know that? How did Peter know it was Moses and Elijah? He hadn't seen a picture of them. They had no cameras in those days. Hadn't seen a photo, but he knew somehow. Ah, that's Moses. Ah, that's Elijah. And this will be one of the joys of the new heavens and new earth. We will recognize each other. Parents will recognize children, and children will recognize parents. And parents will recognize children who sadly died in the womb or died in infancy. And those infants, I believe, will recognize their parents in some wonderful way. And I believe that the resurrection day will be the greatest reunion there's ever been. Do you like to get together with your family? Maybe over Easter. I know some of you have come visiting your family. It's lovely to see the family. But isn't it sad sometimes we think, well, somebody's missing because somebody's died. But if we're Christians, we will all meet again together. And this is truly wonderful. Now, the third lesson from creation that Paul gives us about the resurrection body is this. He tells us and reminds us that there are many different kinds of bodies that God has created here in this universe. And so God is able to make a different kind of body in the resurrection. Look at verses 39 to 41. He's now talking about the different kinds of bodies there are in the world. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh for men, another flesh for animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. In this world, this universe, there are lots of different kinds of body. Some bodies are living. You've got a living body, you'll be pleased to hear. You've got a living body. But they're different, aren't they? The body of a human being is different from the body of a cat or a dog, and is different from the body of a fish and a bird. Think about how we take in oxygen. Now, how do you take in oxygen? Well, you go, you don't realize it, we're doing it all the time. You have lungs. But how do fish take in oxygen? They don't have lungs. They extract it from water. And birds breathe in a different way as well. So we have different kinds of bodies suited for where we are. Your body, you'll be pleased to hear, is suited to walking on the ground. It's not suited for living underwater. So don't try and go and live in Lake Geneva. And if you catch a fish out of Lake Geneva, then don't think that you can take it home and say, come and live as a pet. It will soon die, won't it? It's not suited to being out of water. So different kinds of bodies are made by God. So God will make a different kind of body for the new heavens and new earth. And then Paul also talks about bodies that are not alive. They're very different. The moon is different from the earth, which is different from the sun. And that's different from the stars. And you notice here that Paul says that stars differ. How did he know that? If you look up at the stars, don't they all really look the same to you? Some might be brighter than others, but they all look the same. But now scientists are beginning to understand about the stars. They're seeing that actually they're very different. And so far they've identified 90 different categories. But I suspect there are 90 times 90 different categories. God made them all different. And here Paul was inspired to say this. So God in this world has made lots of different kinds of bodies. Your body, the body of your pet dog, the body of a bird, the body of a fish, the body that is the moon, the sun, the stars, and so on. So God, in the new heavens and new earth, will make a body that's perfectly suited to living in the new heavens and new earth. Now, you might sometimes, in a mirror, on a day when nobody else is looking, look at yourself and think, my body isn't suitable for eternity. You look at its blemishes, you look at its weaknesses, and you think, that'll be no good for heaven. But my friends, in heaven, your body will be perfect. Absolutely perfect. And that's what Paul says in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. After death comes life, and the new body is different from the old, as different as a seed is from a plant. But it will be perfect. So my friends, here are three lessons we learn from creation. Now, this is what I want you to do, my friends. When you next go for a nice walk, I hope you go for walks, and look at this time of year at a beautiful daffodil or narcissi, and think to yourself, isn't that beautiful? And that's come from those bulbs that aren't very pretty. That's a picture of what God will do with us. Because we in our body now feel a bit like a daffodil bulb. But in the new heavens and new earth, it will be like the daffodil, bright and shining. And then when you walk past a field and you see the little lambs skipping around, and you see a lamb has come from a sheep, or you see the little calves that have come from a cow, you can remind yourself, oh yes, sheep always produce sheep. Cows always produce cows. So in the new heavens and new earth, we will be human beings with a human being-like body. And then we can look at all the different kinds of bodies there are and say, God will make a body just what we need. Isn't that wonderful? Now, all of these truths point to the fact that the resurrection of the dead is going to happen, and what our body will be like. And we could stop there, and God could simply say, look at creation. But he wants us to know more. So now Paul gives us three answers from Revelation. In other words, three answers from the Bible. Things that we couldn't work out if we just look at creation. Because creation doesn't tell us everything. The first point, which really does follow on from what I've been saying, but is really emphasized, is that our resurrection body will be perfectly fitted for heaven. And now he explains in what way. This is the teaching from verses 42 to 45. And he says the same thing in a similar way, but with small differences. Look what he says. Verse 42. The body is sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. The body you currently have is a body that's dying. But you will have in the new heavens and new earth a body that never dies. Paul is thinking of what the Bible teaches. In Genesis 3:19, we read, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. That is what will happen. Our body is getting older. I don't want to make you feel depressed, but our body really begins to get old and start to wind down in our early 20s. So if you're past your early 20s, there's only one way now. And we know this from sport, don't we? The players all have to retire when they're 30 or 35. And so our body just gets weaker, and then you begin to get the grey hairs, or then the hair falls out, or whatever it is, and you lose your figure. That's what happens with our body. But in heaven, that won't happen. It'll be raised to incorruption. It will stay the same in some wonderful way. It'll be raised in incorruption. We will no longer age. We won't get old. We will be as we will be. And therefore, our resurrection body will include something we don't see anywhere else in the world today. Because in the world, death just generates death. But a dead thing will produce something that cannot die. We won't grow up. We won't grow old. Our hair won't go grey. We won't lose our sight. Our limbs won't grow weak. We will have an incorruptible body. I'm finding now that if I stand up for too long, my legs begin to ache. It won't happen there. I find now that if I'm very busy, and our friends were busy at the kiosk yesterday, and in the evening they look tired. We won't get tired in heaven. We won't get tired. Sometimes if you talk too much, you begin to lose your voice. It won't happen in heaven. Sometimes if you sing too much, even, your voice goes croaky. It won't happen in heaven. It's incorruptible. Isn't that wonderful? And then in verse 43, we're told that it's sown in dishonor and raised in glory. There is, in one sense, something dishonoring about our body. That's partly why we wear clothes. It's part of our shame for sin. And although we pay respects to the dead at a funeral, we know that a dead body, in one sense, is not very glorious, because it's just going one way, to go back to the dust. But our body, it says here, will be raised in glory. It will be a glorious body. A wonderful body. This echoes what Jesus taught. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I think that's what Paul has in mind. We will shine forth. There is a glory that the sun has, doesn't it? The sun is so glorious, we can't really look at it. If you look at it, you'll damage your eyes. It has a glory, isn't it? This brightness. And we, in some sense, will have that glory. A wonderful body that is glorious. And then in verse 43, he says it's sown in weakness and it's raised in power. The apostle has in mind Hosea 13, verse 14. I'll read it to you. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Our body is weak, isn't it? We need a long period of rest every day. We need to sleep at night. We can only cope with so much activity. But in the resurrection, that won't be the case. It will be raised in power. In a few weeks, there's going to be the 20-kilometer race in Lausanne. And if you go to the end of the race and look at the people, what are they doing as they get to the end? They're puffed out and they want a drink. And sometimes they collapse on the ground. Won't happen in heaven. We'll be able to run and run and run and run. Be raised in power. We can't really imagine it. We will be like, in that sense, a Superman compared to this world. And then verse 44, it is sown as a natural body. It is raised as a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And probably Paul is thinking about the words of Jesus. We might want to turn them to what Jesus said. Mark 12, because Jesus tells us a great deal on this subject. Mark 12, verse 24. He's been asked a question by people who doubt the resurrection. And the question was, well, here is a woman who married several men. When she gets to heaven, who will be her husband? And this is what Jesus says. There's something very different about our bodies. He says this in verse 24, page 896. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Now, this doesn't mean we are angels. Notice what Jesus says, we are like angels. Now, angels have a body, and their body is different from our body, and they don't marry. So we know, for instance, now that there won't be marriage in heaven. There won't be marriage. Of course, you'll meet your partner, you'll meet your children, but we won't have marriage in heaven. There will be a difference. We don't understand that. The Lord tells us no more. And our current body is suited to this world. A body where, yes, we're going to have children with our bodies and so on. A body that needs oxygen, water, nutrition. But in heaven, we'll have a body like the angels. They have a spiritual body. This doesn't mean that it's not physical. We'll come to that in a moment. But it means that it's different. in a way we can't understand. But maybe the way we can understand a little bit is by looking at the one person who has their resurrection body now. Who's that? Who's got their resurrection body now? Jesus. If you're not sure the answer, just say Jesus. It's normally the right answer. Just turn with me to Luke 24. We're going to read one of the resurrection appearances of Jesus. And although Jesus is God, he is also man. And although Jesus can do things we can't do, he does give us clues here in the kind of things we will be able to do with our resurrection body. Look at Luke 24, 36 to 40. And this is when Jesus appeared on that first resurrection evening. This is what we read. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, supposing that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see it." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Jesus, after the resurrection, had a body, and so shall we. We will have hands, we will have feet. He's not just a spirit. And we know that Jesus walked, and he talked, and he sat. In fact, we know that he ate and he drank with his resurrection body. And so will we. And Jesus' body looks sufficiently similar to a human body on earth that he was mistaken for a gardener, but sufficiently different that, to begin with, the disciples didn't recognize him. And we don't know more than that. And so our resurrection body will be the same, but it will be different. It will be suited to this spiritual realm. It will be still a body. And so Paul goes on to say in verse 45 how this will be. He says this, if we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living body, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Paul quotes now from Genesis to remind us that God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. He turned an it into a he. God was the source of life for Adam. And what will be the source of our life as Christians? It will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he rose, we rise. Because he has a resurrection body, we have a resurrection body. And the Lord again will somehow breathe into the dust that our body has become a death and create a new spiritual Christ-like body. I don't know if you know this, but it's actually impossible to destroy matter. You can't destroy matter. You can burn it and crush it, change it, but it's still there. And I believe, therefore, at the resurrection of the dead, God will take all the molecules somehow that made up that body of a person and recreate them to make the resurrection body. And we, our body that has become an it in the ground, will become a he. And this resurrection body will come after our natural body. Paul's saying something very similar, verse 46. "The spiritual is not first, but the natural, afterwards the spiritual." We first of all have to have a body like Adam's, and then we will have a body like Christ's. And this body will be spiritual. It's eternal. It stays the same. And so this is our second answer from the Bible. We receive our resurrection body after our natural body, and it'll be one from heaven, one fitted for heaven. And then finally, my friends, and you could argue most importantly, we're told that Revelation reveals us that our body will be like Christ's. Look at verses 47 and 49. "The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those made of dust. As is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. At the moment, we're more linked to Adam, aren't we? Our body corrodes and dies, just as Adam's did, because of sin. But Jesus is a man from heaven, and so all his descendants will have a heavenly hope. And although our body at the moment bears the image of Adam, we will see corruption and we will die. We will then, at the resurrection, receive a body that bears the image of Christ. It will be a body that is perfectly suited to the new heavens and new earth. In the new heavens and new earth, we will have a perfect soul. You will have a spirit that never sins again. You will never be tempted to sin again. You will never have to confess your sins. And so God is going to give you a body that's suited to that soul. At the moment, your body is corrupt, as it were, and so is your soul. We're not perfect. But in the new heavens and new earth, your soul will be perfect, and so will the body. So, my friends, can you remember what we've learned this morning? What will our resurrection body be like? It will come from our current body in the way that a plant comes from a seed. Our resurrection body will be as different as a seed is from a plant. And it will be incorruptible, powerful, spiritual. It will be a body of flesh and blood, capable of eating food. But it will be a body that is strong and eternal. And above all, we will have a body that will somehow bear the image of our glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as though we will all be his children. You know, it's wonderful to see children here, and you look in the face of, if I may say, there are some grandparents here, and parents, and children. And if you look at the family, I can see the resemblance. I could look down the family and say, oh yes, I know whose mother this is. I know whose grandmother this is. I know whose daughter or son is this. You can see it, can't you? And we will have the image of Christ, the perfect Son of God. Because we will be the bride of Christ and we will be like him. Now, my friends, just as I close, I want to apply what I taught very briefly. We've been taught about the nature of our resurrection body. And the first thing to say is, you'll only receive this if you're a Christian. You'll only receive this if you've repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, none of this applies for you. You will receive a resurrection body, but it won't be one suitable for the new heavens and new earth. It will be one suited to the lake of fire. But God offers to all forgiveness, and he offers to all a resurrection body. So come to Christ and ask God to forgive you. But secondly, if you are a Christian, I want you to think of your resurrection body that you will receive like a Christmas present. We all look forward to Christmas, don't we? It's a present from the one who loves you most, Jesus Christ. Now, what should you do while you're waiting to receive that present? Because it's not Christmas Day yet. You're not receiving that present yet. Well, imagine for a moment that somebody gave you a wonderful grand chateau in Switzerland. A beautiful building. Wonderful, beautiful building. And they said, it's a gift for you, but you can't have it yet. You need to wait a few years before you can have this building. But you can do something while you're waiting, because this building has no furniture. So this generous man then gives you a lot of money and says, now go and find furniture and pictures and carpets and curtains and everything you need for this wonderful house. What would you do? Would you just leave the money in the bank? No. You'd be down to IKEA. Well, maybe you go somewhere better than IKEA. You would go to an antique shop and find the best furniture, old furniture, beautiful painting, shoes, lovely carpets. And you would have a wonderful time preparing for this home that you haven't got yet. Now the Lord Jesus has given you a wonderful gift. A grand new resurrection body. But I'm afraid you can't have it yet. You've got to wait a few more years. But in the meantime, the Lord has asked you to do one thing. One thing as a Christian, more important than anything else in the world. He wants you to prepare your soul to live in that resurrection body. He wants you to grow more like Christ. He wants you to grow in your sanctification. He hasn't given you £1 million to furnish it, but he's given you the Holy Spirit to help you prepare. And the Lord wants you here on earth to use your time here to put off the old man, to put on the new, to become more like Christ in character. He wants you to develop the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, self-control. My friends, you've now heard today about this wonderful Christmas present you've got. I don't know when you and I are going to receive it, but you will. Will you now prepare for that present? Will you use the gifts and graces that God has given you? Will you use them to help you to grow? Will you read your Bible? Will you listen to good preaching? Will you ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ in your character? Will you spend your remaining time on earth to prepare your soul for the resurrection? Because I believe that is God's will for every Christian, your sanctification. Amen. Amen. Well, let's now sing about the deep, deep love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's number 535. We do have this one in Russian. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Today of all days, we can sing this knowing we know the deep love of Christ. 535.